The Lord be with you.
Also with you.
Let us pray. Loving and gracious Father, help us to bring your presence into our life this day and to let go to you and surrender ourselves to you. And during this day, help keep us thoughtful, prayerful, patient, present, and kind. Soften our hearts to make space for those people who will come into our life this day. And grant us a heart of love. And now, Lord, help me to give what message you have me to give. And help everyone to open their hearts to that message. We pray all this and thank you in Jesus' holy name. Amen.
Amen.
You know, we go through rites of passages in life. And I went through one last night. It's called 44. That was fantastic. How to fire you up, huh, Jack? Now, I'm not going to read you 44 here. I'm going to read you out of Psalm 62, one of my favorites, just a few verses. Find rest, O my soul, in God alone. My hope comes from him. He alone is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress, and I will not be shaken. My salvation and my honor depends on God. He is my mighty rock and my fortress. Well, here we are, day two for me. And it's nice not to be quite so fearful on day two, to be able to step away a little bit. You know, that's what we're here for. That's what Camp Father Stout is about, is stepping out a little bit. And we've heard some wonderful, wonderful testimonies of people who have been willing to step out and share. And I just think of an example yesterday in our own prayer group. And I'm not, you know, it's not the story as much as it is just the individual who is stepping out and saying that we really need to step out of this and get into this. So I thought maybe this morning I'd tell a main story again. But then I said, no, Denny Moore is coming to town. And I want to meet this guy, Denny Moore. He's from Machias, you know. And Machias is beyond Ellsworth. That's where I'm from. There aren't many people down there. They either go fishing or they pick blueberries. A lot of people don't know, Machias is probably the blueberry capital of the world. When you have blueberry muffins and you have little blueberries, those are wild blueberries, they come from that area. Worldwide, because it's just the climate is just how the climate is there. Well, we started Sunday with my talk about the presence of God, and that God created me. Okay? And we talked about I am as God created me. And that is very
good.
Well, I have an addition today. God is still as we created me, and that is
very.
And God still created you, and that is
very.
And God created all of us, and that is Very good. Now, when we hear some of the testimonies we've heard the last couple of days, we find out that although God created us in that journey that we make, there's a few lemons along the way. Life is not always up here. We have to cycle through our lives. And when Carol shared her talk, and Joe shared his talk, and Ruth shared her talk, we find that there are some of those things in our lives that we don't really know what they are or where they come from. But we know that God created us. And I remember the first story or the first incident in my life where I lost a relative. And I was 16 years old, and it was in the month of June, and I was headed off to my first summer job, and I got off the Greyhound bus in York Corner. A lot of you know where York Corner is, right? And got off there with every possession I probably had to go down to my grandparents' house before I was escorted down to York Beach, where I was a dishwasher for a summer. I loved it. But when I got there, there was a hush that I didn't know about. And I was slowly brought into my grandparents' house, and my grandfather had died that morning. And it was something that at 16, most of us haven't experienced much in the way of death. We hear about it, and then we don't see it close to us in our own lives. And then suddenly, my grandfather, I mean, I knew him, I loved him, he was part of my life, but he died. And I didn't know how to react to that. Like as we get older, we experience more of this in our life. But at that point in time, that was just something that I was not so unaccustomed to. It was one of those lemons that comes along that you know, the old thing about making lemonade. It's hard to make lemonade at that time. And then not too many years ago, I lost my brother. And that was a hard experience because he was 12 years younger than I was, and he was killed instantly in the morning accident on his way to work. Where did that come from? And then Kathleen and I and some of the other members of the family, he lived in New Hampshire all by himself. So we had to come over here and open up his house, take his dishes out of the sink, you know, and clean up his having been there the night before. And that was a down moment. But still remembering, you know, now as I look back on all of that, is just, you know, that is another one of my life stories, like we all have so many life stories, and some of them can be funny and great and delicious, and others can be not so fun and not so delicious. And what we were talking about on Sunday, and that just dwells in me, and that tells me that I want all of us to try to understand that if I can communicate it to you, that our life stories tell us about who we are, where, how we've developed, and maybe sometimes our life stories gives purpose to our lives. But our life stories are not who we are. We are defined not by our life stories, but we're defined by who God made us. We're defined by God. We're created by God. And we can get above all the deep sadness in our lives, in the difficulties in our lives, trying to get back to We are as God created us, and we don't sometimes understand why we get drawn down like we do, but we do. Now, one of the things that we need to do, we need to communicate and we need to be listening for God. So today, we're going to talk about listening, really listening. And what did we talked the other day about that little poem that I could nursery rhyme, that the wise old owl who lived in an oak, the more he saw, the less he spoke. The less he spoke, the more he can't. Why can't we be like that wise bird? So Kathleen and I are going to share with you this morning an experience that we had, and during our earlier marriage days, we had an opportunity to participate in a Christian marriage retreat. And it was just a wonderful experience for us, and something that we would encourage any married couple to do, because it's designed to take you away from your everyday life and learn to communicate with your spouse. And be it necessarily marriage or necessarily, it can be a child and a parent, it can be any instance of communication. It was an experience for us that we learned to do a lot of things in communicating, but one of the things that we learned was to listen. We have to listen to each other, because remember, Christ is within us. God is within every one of us, so that when that other person is communicating with you and you're communicating with them, you're communicating with God. So Kathleen said, I'm not going to do this if I have to stand. I'm going to be in one of those fancy rocking chairs that Dana and his crew had Friday the other night. So we're going to sit down in rocking chairs. And what we're going to go through is written out. And this is the form, because of we got involved in this Christian marriage movement, is that you gave talks, and talks had to be written out, and you didn't get up and just kind of just do your thing and say what you wanted to say. They were very carefully written out. So I'm going to sit. Yeah.
All right. It's all set.
Okay. We can move it over to her.
No. We'll grab the other mic for her.
Hey, great. Hey, this is great. I got a different perspective now. You don't have
to. There will be no testing.
You ready?
Yeah.
Okay. This is on listening. Listening meant hearing words, hearing about events, and whatever points of interest Kathleen wanted to talk about. I often nodded my head in agreement, yet my thoughts would be elsewhere, or maybe on what I was going to say next. When I got home from work, I was often still focused on my workday with carryover thoughts. Having generally been home hours before me, Kathleen was bubbling to tell me all about her day and the latest news. I heard words, but was not trying very hard to connect them. I felt a bit worn, like seeing the last hill on a long walk. I wanted to listen, but just could not muster the energy until work was further away and I had made the proper transition to home. Many times our TV caused a distraction, like the evening news. I found myself listening to words from Kathleen and listening to the news at the same time. Other times, the family pets would be distracting and require cat and dog talk. Kathy would talk about her childhood experiences and relationships with her family. I heard her words, but did not relate to her feelings and experiences behind her words.
I can't even count the number of times I've only heard something and not really listened, like hearing the furnace or rain on the roof. Many times I had thought I was listening to David because I was hearing his words. Many of those times I had something on my mind, or I was preoccupied with what I would say when my turn came. Or I would anticipate what he was going to say and supply the words for him. The phone would ring and take my attention away even more, or a thought of my own might intrude. One of those thoughts you have to verbalize before you forget. So I would interrupt, as if what was on my mind at that moment took precedence over what David was trying to say. A conversation going on in another room, or a bird landing at the feeder, would take my eyes and attention away. I'd forget what he had been telling me. Yet I expected to be listened to. After all, what I had to say was important. So many times in my busyness and preoccupation, I have discovered that I merely appeared to be listening. I was nodding, going through the motions, and yet I was actually planning the next meal, wondering what I would wear the next day, or casually reading the mail. Or I would be buzzing around, putting dishes away, feeding a cat, or watering the plants. My attention would be scattered in so many directions, it was as if David was having to share me with a host of minute details and distractions, like his words were no more important than rain on the roof, mere background noise. Let me do that.
The possibility that I might need to change my behavior is a block to my listening. I'm not a bad driver, but once in a while, I have made quick decisions, particularly when making left-hand turns in the path of oncoming traffic. I felt comfortable, like in control, when turning as not to endanger myself, any passengers, or the other car. Kathleen was quick to shout, hit her imaginary brake pedal from the passenger side, and even hit the deck sometimes. I heard her tell me many times that this concerned her, that she was afraid. I continued my old habit, assured my own self-confidence. Long silences followed a left-hand turn incident, sometimes going on for days. This seemed a small stuff problem, which we were taking out of proportion. We had the good sense to talk about it one day. Kathy told me, and I listened with feeling, about how she had been a passenger in an accident caused as a result of a left-hand turn. I listened to her emotion as she described seeing the other car coming toward her and seeing the faces of the other people, then the crunching of metal. She expressed the fear she had felt then and now. So now, when anything comes close to an accident, occurs on a left-hand turn, she relives that fear. I finally got the picture. And I also got out of the conviction that I was right. I corrected my driving for Kathleen and remain always mindful when we are together. Just a simple little thing like this has made our relationship stronger. And Kathleen almost always says, in a quiet tone, "Thank you," when I take a little extra time on a left-hand turn. That's our left-hand turn story. Thank you.
Thank you.
So that's communication, and that's listening, and that's something that we need to do. We need to listen to the Lord and what He's trying to tell us. And I swear this morning that I was trying to listen to God tell me something, listen to Kathy and Shave all at the same time, and I created a nice little spot in my face. We do need to listen. You know, and sometimes there are tremendous obstacles to listen. Listen to find some space to listen. And to listen to other people. And some of those obstacles that I can think of, and you can think of as well, I'm sure your list can far exceed mine. But you know, think of when someone is telling you something, you know, it's a gift from us to listen to them telling us. And it works both ways, because it's a gift for us to listen to what someone has said. But sometimes there are the tremendous distractions. Simple example is the person's a mess. You know, it's one of these people that are just, they're physically unattractive. They're a mess in their lives, and you've prejudged them before you even get a chance to listen to them. So you're stuck in your head about stuff that you think about these people. And what's happening is you're never going to listen to what they've got to tell you. You're not going to listen to their story, because you've predefined these people. Another example is when that person comes to you and they're making a mountain out of a molehill, and what you perceive as being pretty small stuff, they're making big stuff out of. But we need to listen to that. And then there are those who are so dull. Oh, the accountants in this world are so dull. They want to talk numbers, 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 and they are so... But we all know people who speak very dull talk. And then some of those people are the folks that we can't get away from. We want to talk with them, but they won't let us go. They capture us in their little clutches, and they go on and on. Okay? Then there are the people that are demanding, that are just really, really trying to get something from you.
Then there are those people speak to that you can sense they're manipulating you. Oh, yeah, they're really wrapping you right up. Manipulation. But these are judgments that we take on. And these people who talk to us and tell us this, nevertheless, those people are God-created people who God created and God loved. Those people are brothers and sisters are whom Christ died for. So we need to listen to them. And Christ is in every one of them. Now, a little something I read or heard, but I think it's worth repeating, is that don't walk behind me because I might not follow you. Don't walk in front of me because I might not follow. Did I say that right or did I get that mixed up? I mix it up and I say it right, Kathleen. Yeah, let's try that again. Okay. Do not walk in front of me because I may not follow you. Do not walk behind me because I may not lead you. Just walk beside me and be my friend. That just says so much. Oh, what are we going to do here? We got 10 more minutes. But the whole thing on listening to God when Heather was doing rhythms. And we were doing the stretches that we were doing the last couple of days. You know, in a way, what she was telling us was to be, you know, feeling, getting ourselves, you know, away from all our environment and kind of going a little bit of inside of ourselves and listening to our bodies and feeling our bodies and letting. I mean, those stretches are way out there, and just. Bringing a feeling inside as to what's inside of you. And do you feel that? You just kind of get removed from all that external stuff. We live in an external world all the time. We don't live inside ourselves enough. And when we do live inside ourselves, that's when we can listen to God, because that's when He's going to speak to us. And it's that listening that is so important. You know, this morning in meditation, one of Anne's statements was listening to the silence. Remember that one? Listening to the silence. How do you listen to silence? Well, if we just take a walk out here and look at a tree, and just that tree has got something to say. You don't know what it has to say. It's a tree, but it's a tree, and it has something to say because it's a beautiful piece of nature that God created, and created out of that tiny, tiny little seed that it began as, and it becomes a great big maple tree. Just radiant in its beauty this time of year. And then fall comes and it becomes so beautifully colorful. God's paintbrushes. That's why you have to come to Acadia. October is a beautiful month. I mean, in New England, and most of you are from New England, you know how beautiful it is here. But there are some beautiful things in nature that are available to us, and all we have to do is listen to them, just to listen to the sounds of nature. And one of our brochures that says, Come Pray With Me, that I picked up off the table this morning, refers to a couple of things that talk about listening, and this is, you know, getting together with prayer groups. Listen for the Holy Spirit's guidance and risk being obedient. Then it says meditation, listening for the Spirit's insight on a subject or a scripture to expand our understanding. Listening. But we don't listen with our head as much as we listen with our heart. And then hints on prayer group members. Listen with your heart to the sharing in your group. And that's why prayer groups are so important in CFO, because they give us the opportunity to listen to other people's stories and listen with a heart of feeling, so that we don't minister to these people. That's not what prayer groups are for. Prayer groups are to share our experiences and then lift those experiences to God in prayer to help us move forward in a closer relationship to Him. That's where we are, and that's where we are in CFO. And I had one piece that I wanted to finalize with, and this was a song that I didn't even realize it was a song until I got right to the end of it, and then I realized that it was a song. But before I do that, and I've got just about a little bit of time, so I've still got 5 minutes according to my watch, is that there's a song. I'm just looking at you. We're real serious this morning, and I think it's good to be serious, but also it's real good to smile. And I'm going to teach you a little song this morning about smiling. Okay? Can I do that? Okay. It's easy to remember. Well, the first couple pieces, we'll just do it a couple of times. And it's a rotary song. You know, a rotary. This is these old guys that get together for supper or lunch. And I'm one of them. And they don't sing this song enough, because I think this song is a really important song. But it's a smile song. And a lot of you are going to know it as soon as I start to go with it. But let's just go through it a couple of times. And if you don't get it, that's all right. Maybe we can put it on a screen and do it another time. But it goes like this. Now I'm going to get you to smile. Smile, and the world smiles with you. Sing a song. Don't be weary, just be cheery all day long. Whenever your troubles, your sorrows, or your cares seem to be more than you can really bear, smile, and the world smiles with you. Sing a song. Now, that's not bad. Let's go with it. You guys want to try it? All right, let's go. Smile, and the world smiles with you. Sing a song. Don't be weary, just be cheery all day long. Whenever your troubles, your sorrows, or your cares seem to be more than you can really bear, smile, and the world smiles with you. Sing a song. That's it.